Jesus. Come on, give God the praise. Come on, give God the praise. Hallelujah.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. All right, everybody, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to talk to you about increase this morning, but I'm going to talk to you about it from the standpoint of being faithful. Everybody say increase and faithfulness. Do you know that they go hand in hand? That it is difficult for you to have the increase of God without being faithful. Yet there are many people that think that they can do what they want to do, not be faithful, and still have the increase of God. It just don't work that way. It just don't work that way. Tell your neighbor, say, it just don't work that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, the scripture says, I hadn't seen it, ear hadn't heard it, that it hadn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So this tells me that God has prepared some special things for people that really love him. Now, if you keep reading, some people say, well, yeah, you know, you just can't know the will of God. But that ain't true at all. Because the Bible says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God doesn't want you to be ignorant of his will. In fact, the scripture said in Hosea 4:6, said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It is not the lack of knowledge about biology or chemistry or trigonometry or physics that people are perishing. It is a lack of knowledge of who God is and what he's provided that caused people to perish. So you can't stay ignorant of spiritual things. Some people are very educated in natural stuff. But you know what? When you die, all that stuff gonna die with you.
Amen. Amen.
It's the spiritual stuff that really matters in life. Amen. And that's the part of most people's lives that's the most neglected, is their spiritual life. We need to give heed to the Holy Ghost today, because he's gonna speak to us some things that are gonna bring great benefit and great value into our life and great increase. The next scripture says, but God hath revealed them unto us. Well, what has God revealed? He revealed these things that he has prepared. So you can't say, I ain't seen it, you ain't heard it, it ain't never entered the heart of man. You just can't know the will of God. It's just a mystery. See, you can't just read verse number 9. You have to go on to verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12. Says, but God has revealed them. Revealed what? He reveals, the Spirit of God reveals to us the things that I hadn't seen, the things that ear hadn't heard, the things that have never entered the heart of man, the things that God has never entered for those that love him. Those are the things that the Holy Ghost reveals to us. And he has revealed it to you. You got revelation in your spirit right now that might not even be in your soul yet. But if God says, I reveal these things by my spirit, then it's already been revealed. You just might be taking them for granted, and you may have assigned a very small value to what God has assigned a very big value to. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you can assign a small value to something that God put a huge value on. And when you do, then you're going to miss the will of God most of the time. Because what is important to him and what he values is the same thing that you have to place a high importance on. Amen. And it has to be what you value the most. You have to value what he values. And so sometimes you can tell people what God has placed a high value on, and they just look at you like, big deal. See, what's happened? They place a very small value on something that God put a big value on. And God reveals a lot of things all the time, but because we don't value them and prize them or honor the Holy Spirit for what he has revealed to us, and because we're not appreciative of what's been revealed, then those things stay small in our life, and we never really realize the real value and benefit of what's really been done. Because everything that God does in life when it comes concerns your redemption is designed to put you over in life. It's not designed to destroy you and to beat you down. It's designed to make you a winner and to cause you to triumph in life. Amen? Now, let's look at this phrase here. That God hath prepared for those who love him. Now, that's the key right there. The key to that verse right there is that God has prepared some things for those that love him. Now, how do you define love for God? Well, let's let the Bible define it. First of all, he said that you had to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's your energy. To love God with your whole heart. And then Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So God measures your love for him by your faithfulness to obey his word. Real love for God is determined by obedience. See, you just, you know, I remember one time I said, oh, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Because I do, to the best of my understanding. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you more than anything. I say that all the time. I love you more than anything. And I remember one day he said, are you keeping my word? Are you obeying scriptures that I've revealed to you? Are you living by faith? Are you obedient? And, you know, and thankful that day as I examined my own heart, I said, well, to the best of my understanding, I am. He said, you are. So you can love God with all your heart, but when you do, then you're going to obey him, and you're going to trust him, and you will develop faithfulness without even trying. Because faithfulness is an attribute and a characteristic of God, because 1 Corinthians 1:9 says God is faithful. Amen. And that we have been called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. So you know, when I tell the Lord, I say, Lord, I love you, I always check myself by the scripture. Am I walking in obedience? And if I'm not, then I know that I ain't loving him like I'm supposed to. Because Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And then he said, and me and my Father will come and make our abode with him. You can read it in John chapter 14. He said, we'll come live with you. He said, we will come and manifest ourselves. See, there's a revelation right there where you would have the manifested presence of God in your life, where Jesus will make himself known to you, what he has done for you. You know, we sing, Val sung this beautiful song today, just for me, just for me. Jesus did it just for me. And that went over most people's head. You know why? Because they're not thinking about nothing he did for them. See, they don't have no appreciation for what he's done. But if you really know what he's done for you, when you say that, then it's going to evoke some emotion in you. If somebody does something really great for you, and you tell them, say, boy, I'm going to tell you, they helped me out of a jam. When somebody really brings you out of a jam, you don't never forget them.
That's right.
When somebody help you, when you need the help at the worst possible time in the worst way, and somebody comes along and helps you and rescues you, and you're so grateful and appreciative, you never, ever forget that person. Every time you see that person, you remind yourself, that's the person that helped me. They gave me a helping hand when I needed it. But sometimes when it comes to God, we take things so lightly that we don't have any appreciation in our heart, and we can say, just for me, and be thinking about everything else except just for me. Thinking about everything except what he did for you. And when she starts singing, I start thinking about, Lord, you delivered me from sin. Just for me, you hung on the cross. If I'd have been the only one. So I use it as an opportunity for me to express my appreciation for what he's done for me. But if you don't have the revelation of what he's done for you, see, then you can't express it. If it hadn't been revealed to you, there's no way you can enter into that. But you can if you say, I want to love God, and you make the decision that you're going to do it. So when we talk about God preparing things for those that love him, we're talking about there are things that have been prepared for people that are faithful to God, that are people that are learning how to walk in obedience, that have a desire to please God, that have a desire to obey God, that have a desire to do things God's way. Amen. Everybody say God's way.
God's way.
How many of you know man got his own way? There is a way that seems right to a man. But the end thereof are the what? The ways of death. It means that there's always different paths that you can take to do things. But there is a way that seems right, that looks good, that sounds right, but is it really the way of God? And you have to make decisions and say, now, is this God's plan or my own plan? And the thing about it, if you get hung up in your own plan, then you're going to give birth to an Ishmael. What does Ishmael represent? Ishmael represents the flesh. Even beyond that, Ishmael represents you helping God bring to pass his word prophetically, or promise that he's given to you. It is you not waiting on God to show you how to do something. It's you getting a glimpse of what God wants to do, and you say, just get out the way, let me do this. That's Ishmael. See, Ishmael was born because God gave a promise to Abraham that he was going to be the father of many. So what happened? Sarah said, here's my little maid, since I'm barren and can't have no children, then God must mean for you to bring this to pass some other kind of way. Here's my maid. So Abraham, I'm going to tell you, before he got in faith, everybody say, before faith came, oh, he was in the flesh, and he produced the Ishmael. And then Ishmael had to be separated from his life, and it was very painful. How many of you know it's hard to get rid of Ishmael? It's hard to get rid of stuff that you birthed in the flesh. So it's best to just wait on God, get God's plan on the thing, and do it his way, because Satan will give you a way that seems right. And you have to have the Holy Spirit supplying to you the wisdom to know, yeah, this may be good, but is it God? You can produce something in the flesh, but you'll have to live with it for the rest of your life. You want Isaac, you don't want Ishmael. Amen. And Isaac comes with the timing of God. It comes with the plan of God. And so all of this ties into really being faithful to God. Amen. As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, and you have to expect him to reveal to you things that eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither entered into the heart of man. You have to expect the Holy Ghost to reveal to you what's been prepared for you. I'm expecting God to reveal some things to me that's already been prepared. Ain't got to be created. Already, Jesus has already prepared a way for me. He's already prepared a way for you. But you have to be diligent and faithful so that you stay on that path. Now, look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Everybody say, but the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 12. This is one of the reasons why God graced you with the Holy Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the Holy Spirit today living in me, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, abiding in me to show me, to teach me, and to reveal to me the things that have been freely given to me by God. Now, you can be a believer and still be operating under the spirit of this world, even though you're full of the Holy Ghost. If you don't keep your heart and your soul connected in the right way to the things of God, you could be going astray and operating under the spirit of this world. And when you're operating in the spirit of this world, then you're gonna do flesh stuff. Amen? Amen? Praise God. What this scripture reveals is that God has a plan to bless us beyond our wildest imaginations and expectations. This is because God is good, and he's planned to be good to you and to give you good things now and throughout eternity. God has planned good for you, and you have to believe it. God will give good things to you because he's planned good for you. And you have to believe it and be expecting that I'm gonna run into good things. I'm believing God for good things. God gives good things to his children. Amen? There's no end or limitation to the goodness of God that can be operating in your life every single day. God wants you to operate in his goodness every day. Listen at these scriptures here. Matthew 7:11 says this here. It says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things, give good gifts to them that ask him? How many of you have asked God for some good things? I'm going to tell you, if you haven't, ask him right now. Lord, give me some good things. He said he'll give good things to those that ask him. So God is a liberal, generous giver. He's free-hearted. That's how we describe his heart. He's very gracious. He's disposed to do favors. In fact, he said about himself that I am gracious, slow to anger, of great mercy. I just want to do you good in your latter end. Amen? So you secure your latter end by what you do in your present. Your obedience now pays dividends in your future. Hallelujah. Luke 12:32, Jesus said this, fear not, little flock, Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Don't be afraid, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the whole kingdom. Jesus made us heirs of God and joint heirs with himself. He's given us the kingdom. That means that God is not looking to see how much he can withhold from you. God is in the business of seeing how much he can pour out on you. How much can you receive? So, how much blessing can you stand? It ain't God withholding blessings. Well, I don't know why the Lord got the blessing held up. I'll guarantee you it's something you're doing. I'll guarantee it's something you're doing that's holding blessing up.
Come on.
I would never say God is the reason why you ain't blessed. Because he's the reason that you got any blessing working in your life at all. Because he's good. And he's planned good. He's prepared good. He wants you to have good. He wants to lavish you with goodness. He wants to pour goodness on you. Amen. My favorite scripture. God can't say no scripture. Said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, talking about Jesus, freely give you all things. Freely give them. Freely give to you. All things. See, God is not a grudge-hearted giver. God ain't a stingy giver.
Come on.
So his children should not be grudge-hearted and stingy.
Amen.
We should be learning from him.
Yes.
That if God gives without fear, that's the way we're supposed to give.
Amen.
Jesus said, don't fear anything. All we should be concerned about is obedience. Doing what's pleasing to him. That should be our major. Not how much I got left. Have I obeyed? The Lord told me to give a large sum of money one time. I'll tell you, I just started working. I've been saving money for a house, down payment on a house and a car payment. And, you know, I'm gonna buy me a new car. I had an old 71 of those Cutlass. It was 1983. And I was wanting a new car, so I put money aside. Mom and Dad let me stay at home and say, won't you just come on home after I graduated from school? Say, come on home, stay here, save your money, help us out a little bit, but we can help, we can be a blessing to each other. I said, okay, well, let's do that. So I'm socking that money away, boy. And one day the Lord told me to give almost every penny I had away. My whole savings account. When he told me to give that large sum of money, I was hoping that I didn't have that much money in the bank. Because then I could say it wasn't God. I said, Lord, you know how much money was in there. This can't be you telling me to give this amount. I ain't even got that much. That couldn't have been you. So I was looking for a way to get out of that because I'm starting to trust in this money. I'm believing in it. This is my house. This is my new car. This is it right here. This money right here represents house, new car, all of that. And God said, give it away. Sow it into the kingdom. And he told me what ministry to give it to. And I wrestled with it for about a month. And one day I came home, and I always been passionate about reaching people, you know, telling people about Jesus. So I got home one day. I used to go straight to the bedroom, get down on my knees, and start praying. Start praying for people. It's fellowshipping with God and worshiping him. And while I'm down on my knees worshiping God and praying, the Lord say, what you going to do about that money I told you to give? And you know, I'm just telling you the truth. I say, Lord, here I am trying to pray for souls. And you bringing up all this stuff about this money. I'm trying to do the right thing, praying for people, and you keep bringing this thing money up. Then I heard this. I heard him speaking to me face to face. He say, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing what I tell you to do? And boy, I heard him open them scriptures. I went to the place and I read it. And then he asked me, he said, do you want to be a wise man or a foolish man? I said, Lord, I want to be wise. He He said, then do what I tell you to do. That was the end of my procrastination, because I really didn't want to let go of that money. I really didn't. But I made a quick adjustment. Right there, I wrote that check out, put it on an envelope, went and slammed a stamp on it, and slammed it in the mailbox. Say, I'm going to be obedient. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be obedient. Obedience is more important to me than anything. What was God doing? God's teaching me how to be faithful to him, how to let him be in charge.